Good morning, everybody. It's good to be back in the presence of the Lord. What a day it is that we are sitting in the presence of God. You know, the Word of God says it is a wonderful to worship the Lord, to glorify Him, to give Him honor, because He is our King and He is our Creator. Let's bow down our head and ask His mercy and grace and His power. Father in heaven, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of Holy Spirit, through the promises of your scripture. We adore you, we worship you, we praise you. We welcome you, O Lord, and we thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit that can lead us and teach us, O Lord. We ask your guidance and teaching, O Lord, through the power of Holy Spirit. Come and lead us, O Lord. We surrender ourselves unto you, and we lift up our heads and our eyes and our minds into your presence, O Lord. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Well, I'm so thrilled and thankful to the Lord that you guys give me the opportunity that I can come and preach continually for 3 weeks. I'm so thankful for Pastor Stace, and I pray and hope that he has a safe journey and he come back safe and sound and worship the Lord with you guys. And thank you for your leadership and all the congregation supported. And you know, my prayer is this, that this church grow and ready for the glory of the Lord. Amen. So we will continually go into the book of Daniel. I'm so thankful for my brother that who read from the past chapter. It's good that we have a revision from fifth chapter. In the fifth chapter, last verse says, the kingdom change. And the last chapter of the fifth chapter of the Bible, the book of Daniel, the last verse says, the Darius the king was 62 years old, and he took over the kingdom. You know, Daniel was a young man, a young boy, when he brought into the Babylonian. He was in exile when he was 15 years old. He brought to the king Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar took all the possession of the Jerusalem, and he took all the gold and everything, and he brought into the Babylonian government. So and then another king rose after the king Nebuchadnezzar died, King Belshazzar came into the action, and the fifth chapter talks about him, and then he passed away, and then another government came over there. So Daniel was in the sixth chapter. The story was learned when we were childhood. From the childhood, we are known the story of the sixth chapter of the Daniel. Daniel was in the lion's den. So what is the new when you see in the story of Daniel when he is in the lion's den? It's a different story. So I did a little thing in this over here. The book of Daniel, the first four chapters talks about Nebuchadnezzar. The fifth chapter talks about Belshazzar. So not the Belshazzar, it's Belshazzar. So these are the two familiar names. The Daniel got the name from the Babylonian government, Belshazzar. And the king Nebuchadnezzar has his grandson. His name is Belshazzar. So these are the two names that give you the trouble when you read. But the both names are the same root comings, and it is the god of Baal. The spirit of Baal lives in them. That's what they say. Oh, Daniel has the spirit of gods. And you know, the Bible says that Daniel did not refer to that name. He never claimed that my name is Belshazzar. He always says, I, the Daniel, I stand before you, O King Nebuchadnezzar, in the name of God the Father, who is rule and reign in Israel, our forefather, our God who created heavens and earth. So I am standing before you in the name of God who created heavens and earth. So the later on you will going to find from chapter 6, chapter 7 to the end of the chapter, you will find the king Cyrus will come into the action. So Daniel was the same from the time he was young boy to now, the age of about 90 years old. And I have found this code. An old man, he is still faithful to trust God, live for the Lord, and do his job to the best of his ability. So think about yourself when you say, I am too young to do God's work. No, you are not too young. You are okay, because God can use you any time of your life. It doesn't matter how old you are. In God's eyes, you are always a child of God. If your parents look at you, they will always look at you as a child. Doesn't matter how old you are. So the old thing is not the excuse in God's eyes. So if Daniel can work through when he was 15 years old, he started glorifying God, and by the time of end, he was 90 years old and still he is faithful. So what is the life of Daniel is giving us? That we should be faithful from the birth of we come into this world and to the end of the life. We should live our life faithfully. That is the theme of the book of Daniel, that we should live our life faithfully to our Lord who created us fearfully and wonderfully on the image of himself. We always represent God the Father and God Jesus Christ, and through the scriptures we always say that he is my Lord. So come to the next. This is the summary of this sixth chapter, the favor by Darius. The Darius was the king. Darius was a king in this chapter. So you find first three verses that he was favored by Darius, and then the framed by his enemy. You know, enemies are always standing by and they are looking, where are we going to come and attack you? You know, our enemy is Satan. He is going to take you over. When you think that he will not take me because I'm so powerful, he will always come against you and he will going to take you. So enemies always ready. So faithful to God, from verse number 10 to 15, Daniel was faithful to God. That's what he proclaimed. And then for the faithfulness of God, he was gone into the den of the lions. So flung into the lions, from 16 to 22. And then fed by king again from verse number 23 to the end of the chapter. So this is the little framework in this chapter, what's going on. So in the beginning, the Darius king came into the action and he brought all the people who are educated and who has the knowledge and the wisdom. The Bible says he chose 122 and he put them on each of the city, like a mayor. Nowadays we have a mayor of a city, and then on a mayor there is a governors on the cities. So Daniel was one of the governors. He was on above of 120, and he was the first governor of that emperor, and that kingdom was there. So in first three verses, you will going to find Daniel got again the position. As he was about 85 to 90 years old, he got the position to be a leader. He is on the top of that, and he was leading that a king, and king was so impressed by him. The Bible says he has the spirit of the gods. He has a spirit that give him all the knowledge and the wisdom. The spirit talks about Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit give him all the revelation. So Daniel was a prayer warrior. He always pray, he always read his scriptures, he always kneel down, and he always goes three times in a day and he pray. That is continuing his practice in his life from the childhood, from the childhood to the 90 years old. That is the picture of our life should be, that whatever the days, whatever the years, whatever the weeks and the months God has given us in our life, we should be faithful from the beginning of our life. Soon as we start our young life, we should be practicing. Soon as we come into this world, we should be practicing that God is my Lord. He has died for me. He has rose for me, and he's coming again to receive me. I will going to rule and reign in the presence of God. He is my Father. He is my Savior. He is my heavenly God. So that's what is going on in this chapter. So Isaiah prophesied before these incidents took place. Remember the time of Daniel when he was young, there was a prophet named Jeremiah. There was a prophet named Ezekiel. He was going through with that. Jeremiah stays in Jerusalem, and then Ezekiel and Daniel was taken by the exile, and Nebuchadnezzar took them, and they came into the Babylonian government. In Babylonian, Daniel was inside the palace, and outside Ezekiel was preaching and teaching to other people about that. So Isaiah also prophesied about 100 to 200 BC before this incident happened. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 44 and 45 talks about the King Cyrus. And the Isaiah 44:28 says, "It is I who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd." Look at the language that God used for him. He said, "He is my shepherd, and I have brought him, and he will perform all my desire." Look at that, how God used a foreigner person, and not a Jewish person, and he is from a different emperor. He's a different king. And God said, "He is my shepherd, and he will fulfill all my desire." If the church will not come into action, God will raise somebody else to do his work. He will going to do his work through whatever he desires us. Don't think that only church can do all those things. No, God can raise anybody and they can do his will according to his will. And that's what Jesus said. Whenever you pray, pray this way. My Father in heaven, thy will be done in heaven as it is on earth. So his will done on heaven as it is heaven on this earth. So church should be doing God's will through Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus always says, "Father, I am always pleased with you because I always honor you. I always says that whatever my Father desire, that is I am doing." So that's what Isaiah's prediction was. So why did God allow Daniel to be leadership in all these emperors? Because Daniel was faithful. Because Daniel was the man chosen by God that I will going to stay in him, and I will going to work through him, and I will going to save whole nation. You never know that God will going to pick you from this church, even you are in a young age, or even you are in an old age. You can God can pick you up and use you to save others, to bring them close to the kingdom. So as God used Daniel, so under the Cyrus, God will move in the heart of Cyrus to allow the nation to return. You remember in the 7th chapter, you will going to find the Cyrus gave the new orders to the people of Israel, to the Jews, to the under the Daniel, that go back and rebuild the temple and rebuild all the broken walls. And you will going to find that Cyrus gave this order because God raised Cyrus. Cyrus gave the order. Cyrus was the man who was giving all the money for that, all the expenses to rebuild the temple. So you never know, God can raise anybody that they can go and rebuild all those things. So God is working in the life of Daniel. So when God is working in the life of Daniel, there was a great framework going against the Daniel. In the chapter 6, you will going to find that Daniel was framed by his enemies, and they were jealous. They feel jealous about Daniel. They think that he is foreigner. He is from the former government, and he has a different God to worship. So these are the things that they found against Daniel. You know, we are living in the society that people comes against the church. People come against you. People come against your government, and they ask and they talk about the bad things. They are jealous about why America is the great nation, why America is ruling, why all those things are going on. But you know, remember, there is a person named Daniel in the Old Testament, and he stood for his nation, and he stand before his before God and his nation, and he rescued all the nation, and nation was gone back to after the exile, after the 90 year, after the 70 years of exile, they went back to Jerusalem, and they rebuild the Jerusalem. You see the story of Azariah, you're going to see the story of Nehemiah. They both went and they built the temple. And if you go and find the name of Cyrus in those books, and in the book of Nehemiah, in the book of Jeremiah, and in the book of Ezra, and you're going to find all these things that God has already predicted. And that's what Jesus said for the church. In Matthew 24, in Luke 21, in Mark 13, he already gave all the instructions to the church. And he said, "My people will not stay from all those things. They should know the time of the end. Remember this, this is the question that disciple asked Jesus. What are the days of your coming? What are the days of your end? Jesus did not rebuke them. Jesus did not say, I don't want to tell you. Jesus said, okay, listen carefully. I will going to tell you the days are coming. The sun will be dark. The moon will be going to come as a bloody moon. So you will going to see all the chaos. The nation will come against nation. The earthquakes, the famines, the all those things will become into the end. And you know that God has given that revelation through Jesus Christ to the church. And if you go to the book of Revelation, the very first chapter of the Revelation says to the writer John. John was the disciple who was standing before the cross when Jesus was hung on the cross. He was the only disciple standing over there. And that's how when you stand close to the cross, you will get the revelation. And John, the disciple of Jesus Christ, got that revelation while he was in exile. Daniel was in exile. John was also in exile. So he got the revelation when he was on the Isle of Patmos. And God gave him all the revelation. And he said in the very first chapter, go and give revelation to my church that they should know the days are coming. The days are evil. But remember, I will not forsake you. I will not forleave you. I will be with you to the end of the time. So don't be worried about it. Don't be afraid of this. If this chaos comes, if these diseases comes into you, if all these afflictions come on your life, don't be afraid. Be cheerful and say, Lord is my God. He is my Savior. He is my hiding place, and I will going to be rescued by Him. His Spirit will going to come and teach me. His Spirit will going to come and lead me. Remember, you are not alone. Jesus died for you. Jesus gave His life, and He said, it is finished. It is done. He has given everything in your hands now. It's the church right now, how church will going to handle. Look at the Daniel, how he handled his enemies. He said in the First Corinthians, when Paul writes to the church of Corinth, he says, God's requirement. What are the God's requirement from the church? Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithfulness. You should be tested, and your faith will be tested. Remember, Paul was writing to the Corinth. The church will going to test. The church will going to be testified. And church has to be faithful. That is God's requirement, that we have to be faithful. Daniel was faithful. So when you come into the sixth chapter, Medo-Persian has a law. They have a law when king signs the decree, nobody can change it. So you know there is a revelation behind that. God has already signed a decree. This word of God is the decree of God. We have no authority that we can change His word. We have no authority that we can interpret with our own thoughts and with our own ideas. God has given us this that it will be never change, because the king's decree will never change. Whenever king speaks, it comes the law. Whenever God speaks, it comes the law. The book of Exodus says God gave law to Moses and he wrote with his finger, and we have no power to change it. He is the superior. He has the power. He is the king. He is the creator. So he gave us all the instruction through his. So if Darius has that power, that he cannot change the decree. Look at that. Only the law was made. The 120 and two other generals came together and they make the decree. And Daniel was not included in that. He didn't know about what the king's decree will be. So look at that. Only they came together and they said, only pray to Darius for the next 30 days. What happened? When the days comes in our life nowadays, if somebody will going to say to you, oh, let me tell you, you cannot pray to your Heavenly Father. You cannot pray in the name of Jesus Christ. You cannot come and take part in the communion. How do you going to feel that for 30 days you cannot, or for the next coming, the days of your life, you cannot stand before God? Look at that. Anyone pray to another God will be thrown into the dens of lion. How you will going to feel if somebody come and threat you, I will kill you. You know, I was in the same situation. When you go into the third world, when you go into the area of Asian, when you go to Asia, especially in Pakistan, Afghanistan, you will going to go there and they will going to threat you. If you pray in the name of Jesus Christ, we will kill you. Don't go dare to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. So what are you going to say? How are you going to do that? I've been there for, I lived my 30 years over there. So I know how it feels, how you are persecuted over there. You cannot openly pray and confess. The things are coming into our nation now in America. They are looking to put the law. They are desiring that take the name of God from all of the schools. You know, the Ten Commandments were gone. The prayers are gone. So all these things are coming slowly to our nation. How are we going to practice? We should be standing like Daniel. Daniel said, I will not compromise. I will going to pray to my God. I will going to continually pray 3 times a day. I will going to continually open my scriptures and read my scriptures. Even though the decree was passed, or even though the decree was signed, I will not care about anything. I will only concentrate on what God says, because He is the creator. He is the life giver. He gave me the life, and He gave me the opportunity that I can survive in the exile. I am surviving right now, and He will going to save me in the rest of my days. So look at the time of the sacrifice of how did Daniel found it out that all the promises are already written. You know why he was opening the window towards the Jerusalem and he start praying and kneel downing. Why he's opening the Bible. What he's reading at that time when he was kneel downing and reading. He was reading that Solomon's prayer. Solomon already predicted in 1 Kings chapter number 8 verse number 27 to 30. It's talk about that Solomon dedicate that temple. Temple to God. So look at that, Solomon's prayer in 2 Chronicles chapter number 6, verse number 21. What it says, hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel. When they pray towards this place, hear them from heaven. So what is Solomon saying? Lord God, in future, if they go in exile, if somebody come and attack this temple, and they took over all the possession, even though they are in exile, whenever they lift up their hands, whenever they lift up their eyes, whenever they lift up their self towards this temple, O Lord, then you hear their prayer and save them. You know what Jesus said? Whenever you pray, lift up your eyes to the heaven and say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom will come and thy will be done on this earth. So Jesus did the same thing. He was teaching that we should be prayerful. We should be thinking about that. And this chapter 6, you know, it's also picturized Jesus Christ. Jesus was also framed by his enemies. And the Jews were against Jesus. The government, the Roman government was against Jesus Christ, because Jesus said, I am the king and no king, because there is only one king that stands over there. And that's what the accusation came against Jesus Christ. He said that I am a king, and Jewish said, he said, I am the God, and you can destroy this temple. I can rebuild in 3 days. So they were against all those things. So all the accusations are coming against Jesus Christ. So remember that Jesus was standing before the Pilate, and Pilate also says, I did not find anything against this fellow. So come to this. The option for Daniel. Daniel has the option. Oh, 30 days, but we can also say, as a human, we can compromise that. Oh, it's only 30 days. Let's not pray in 30 days. We will going to do our will. We will going to follow our rules. We have to say, after 30 days, we can pray to God. You know, Daniel did not compromise. He did not stop praying. And he did not hide himself in a prayer. He openly prayed. And he did not pray silently. He openly prayed. And he prayed. Always. He pray always. That's what the Bible says. He is a prayer warrior. He always prays. He always glorifies. He always says, the Lord is my God. He always stand before the king. He says, King Belteshazzar, I am the King Nebuchadnezzar, I am the Daniel standing before you in the name of Most High God who created heavens and earth. He always come and confess that I belongs to a higher authority. Your authority is not overtake me. And that's what Jesus said to Pilate. Your authority is given from heaven. You have no authority on me. If you go read John chapter 18, you will going to find that Jesus was standing before the Pilate. And Pilate said, I have authority to leave you or to kill you. He said, that authority was given my Father to you. And I surrender my Father, not to you. My Father said to surrender you. That's what I am surrendering myself to you, because I have to go through with all those things that I can rescue my people. And I will take them back into the kingdom. And through my body and through my blood, you will going to give, get the revelation, and you will going to give the life of everlasting life through my blood and through the blood of Jesus Christ. So Daniel did not compromise in anything. So the church, time is coming. We should be standing on our toes, and we have the same mind. We have a same Bible. We have nothing changed in it. So we should be testified with all those things. So we should be saying that I will not compromise with anything. I will going to praise the Lord. I will going to honor the Lord. I will going to do all the what the word of God requires us. So Daniel would not go anything against the Bible. This has been Daniel's life from a young boy to an old age when he was still in 90 years old. Look at Daniel. He was 90 years old and he was still praying, and people are watching him and they were starting to look what the things he is doing. The decree was passed. The law was made that nobody will going to pray for 30 days to their God. Only they will going to pray in the Darius mind. Remember, it happened in the third chapter. In the third chapter, he has three friends. They also denied. They said, we will not bow down before this image. Even though they can say, oh, something wrong with my shoe. I can bow down. They even don't dare to do that. They said, we will never going to bow down before your God, Nebuchadnezzar. We will going to have a higher God standing, and we will going to honor him. We're going to stand him. You know, we always find some kind of excuse in our life. I have these things to do. That's what I miss the church. I have these things to do. I have to go for my vacation. I have to do these things. You know, there is nothing wrong. But remember, God will going to bring us into the judgment. One day we will going to stand before the Lord and we're going to honor him. Daniel did not even pay a single day without prayer. He opened his window and he started praying. And he not praying for himself. He was praying for his nation. Jesus did not pray in John 17. He did not pray for himself. He prayed for his disciple and for the church coming. Read John 17. You will going to find Jesus' prayer over there. Jesus prayed for the church. Jesus prayed for the disciples. Jesus prayed already for us. We were yet not born at that time. So Daniel was praying for the nations. Daniel was praying for the nation. Now God the Father is looking into the church. How many people are praying? How many people are praying for their own church, for their pastors, for their activities in the church? How many are fasting in that? So Daniel was praying. Daniel did not concern about what will going to happen. So he continually prayed. God once again provide a protection. Daniel, as he lives for God in a pagan world, doesn't matter where you live. If you always honor God, God will always honor you. God will always protect you. God will always deliver you. Daniel does not know what God will do. Daniel did not know evil God will going to rescue from me from the den of the lions, or I will going to die in the den of the lions. He did not know, but he has faith that my God will going to save me. My God will going to protect me. My God will going to protect the salvation. So does not change the fact that he will continue to pray God. He did not concern about the facts. He always concerned that God is the more important in my life. And church, this is the message that Daniel, the book of Daniel, is giving. Always stand for God. Always stand Jesus Christ who died for you. And he will going to rescue you. He says, lo, end of the time, I will be with you. So in the book of Isaiah also says that there is no weapon was made who can come against you. So remember that. Daniel knows all these things. So our goal, it's not out. Our goal is to do our job as unto the Lord. Seek to please God rather than men. Seek this. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and the righteousness of God. All these things shall be added unto you. So in the book of Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 23 says, whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. Church, whatever you do, whatever you think, whatever you going to do in your future, think about that you will going to glorify Lord. If I'm going to lie, that is glorifying. If I'm going to steal, that is glorifying. If I will not in the church, that will glorify the Lord. You have the power. You have the thing to think in yourself, because the first thing that God gave the human is the power of the will. You can make your own decision. What will going to happen in your life? The future is in your hand. God puts everything in your hand. So look at the Daniel. He was 90 years old and he was thrown into the den of the lion. And what did happen? In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, verse number 30 says, shut the mouth of lion. God sent his angel and he shut down the mouth of lion. Lions were hungry. They were not even give a chance to anybody. If you read that chapter, as soon as Daniel came out and they threw other into the den, they took them and tear them part away. So look at that Daniel. Daniel was standing and seeking the face of the Lord, and Lord sent his angel. Look at yourself today and see, where is your den today? Are the lions rescuing you? But don't worry about that. You know, there is a message in the Bible. He will going to send his angel and they will going to shut down their mouth. Remember the Psalm 91, he says, I will going to send my angel and they will going to lift up you on the wings of their wings, and they will there will be nothing happen to you. So he will going to charge his angel. Remember at the time of Jesus when he was in the temptation, right, in chapter 4 of the Matthew, and Luke chapter 4, when he was into the temptation, when devil came, and after the devil, the Bible says, angels came from heaven, and they give him the things what he needs to be a protector, and they rescue him, and they give him all the things. So look at the Daniel. Daniel was not hiding himself. Daniel was standing, and your Bible says also, the king Darius did not sleep, but Daniel slept, you know, in the lion's den. He was the only one who slept. All other people are awake. They were curious. We will not see Daniel anymore. Daniel is gone. Everything is. Remember what happened? They put the big stone on that and they sealed it. Remember the time of Jesus when he was died. His tomb was sealed. They were thinking, oh, it's done. It's over. But the third day he rose again and he conquered the death. And same way Daniel was conquered by Lord Father, and he was given another life. And look at this. This is the end of the chapter. End of the chapter. Darius the king says, oh, we will going to serve the living God. Oh, he's the eternal God. Eternal kingdom he has. He is the savior. He is all powerful. That is the testimony of the Darius, who was non-Jewish. He was an atheist. He was believing other gods. Still, he comes into that. You can make other people to think about your God. They can say that same thing. Oh, the God of this church is the living God, eternal God. Eternal. He has an eternal kingdom. He is the savior. He has the power. So it's our duty, O church, to stand before other nation. And we are the living church. We have the power. We have the ability to go and tell other. The God we serve, he is a living God. The God we serve, he is an eternal God. The God we serve, he has an eternal kingdom. The God we serve, he is a savior. The God we serve, he is all powerful. He comes and he rescues his people. So don't ever dare you think you are alone. You are not alone. When Jesus was taken up to the heavens, the last thing he says, lo, I will be with you end of the time. So never think again that you are alone. He sent his Holy Spirit Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in you. You have the power. You have to use the Holy Spirit. You have given you was given power by God through the power of Holy Spirit, that you can make the decision, that you can live your life as accordingly, that you can say, I am worshiping the living God. I have the eternal life. I have eternal kingdom. I am serving a Savior who serve the Lord, who serve everybody, and who save everybody. So he is all powerful. Before our president come, he is the king of the king. You know, this chapter also talks about the kingship. The God is our eternal king. He's coming back. Jesus is coming back, and he wants to take you where he is. Remember, last thing I was going to tell you, remember John 14, he made a big promise with the church. Nobody else can have that promise. Only the church can have that promise. I will go and build a place for you. So remember that. If you want to be with God, this is a time that you can say that he is a living God. He is eternal God. He has the eternal kingdom, and he is my Savior, and he is all powerful. May God bless you and have an everlasting life. Amen.